All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of The Secret Is You. My name is Chris Ciccanelli, and I'm super excited about today. I mean, people, get your pen, get your piece of paper ready because, yes, she's back with us. Allie Jacobs, Chief Growth Officer at LPK Cincinnati, Ohio. No, this is not WKRC number, not WKPO, not whatever. This is LPK. She is going to be telling us. Yes, she is a trend expert, I will tell you. And we had her on a podcast earlier, actually almost a year ago, hasn't it been?
I think it's been a while. Yeah. Oh, but I loved it. It was my favorite thing I did that whole year.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it was one of the highest views that we actually got and actually listened to inside of the Secret Is You podcast. And I will tell you one thing. You just bring so much insight. And I love being around you. You know, we just got out, just finished a two-hour meeting, right?
Yep.
And we were really talking about, you know, different ideas, different things that were going on and different trends that are happening in the world today. And I'm super excited about having you part of the show today.
Well, I am thrilled to be here, and I just want to tell you, I love the book.
Oh, you read? See, I love when people sit back and they say they read the book, so you read the book.
No, I read the book every page.
Okay.
And some of it twice.
Okay, so not only are you a badass because of what you do, being this just a powerful woman that you are, and I love the fact that, you know, Chief Growth Officer too, but you, also you're a great friend. So be honest, you think it was it an okay book?
I loved it.
Okay.
You and did. I want to talk to you about the book.
Like, okay, all right.
For people who may or may not be able to see, I've got my notebook in front of me.
She does have a notebook. And if you're dry, I'm telling you right now, Val does not come unprepared to anything. I mean, she's always come with ideas, always certain things. And, you know, let's okay, so if you read the book, so you kind of know some of these chapters, right? So,
right.
All right. So first of all, I know everybody's wanting to know what the hell is a kind of a growth officer? What is this kind of futuristic kind of job and mindset? Because people are probably listening and thinking that you're probably some like clairvoyancy, some psychic, whatever. For the audience that's listening and doesn't maybe know, I'm going to give an overview.
Yeah. Well, I started my career at LPK probably 15 years ago, and I built up our trend forecasting capabilities, like the you know, training other people to do what I do. And prior to that, I had a little trend agency, which is why I think I resonate so much with your book about being an entrepreneur. And even then, I was an entrepreneur inside of another company because I really felt like the work that the company was doing. LPK is a brand and innovation consultancy, but I was always like, well, don't you need to know what people are going to be doing and thinking 3 years from now when this thing's actually going to launch? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you can design things for today, but they sometimes don't get in the world for several years. And I'm like, you need to be thinking about the future and what people want in the future so that when that thing lands, it's what people want and not tired.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because when I heard your title when we first met, I'm thinking, I've been doing marketing since 1997, right? I have never heard of a futurist. I never heard of trend spotting or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Like, I've never heard of it. How, I mean, like, is this something that you just decided one day you were going to do? I mean, like, when you think about a job like this, I will promise you, it was when I heard you say this to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to have one of those. I mean, I have somebody buys digital, I have somebody that does this, but I've never had somebody that does like forecasting trends and what's going on.
You know, there were trend forecasters and futurists in the world when I too discovered it, just so you know. Yeah. Like, I didn't know. It's not like when I was five, I was like, I have an idea. I discovered it on my journey. And it was a point you make in your book is be committed to the process, but detached from the outcome. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to grad school. I was committed to the process. I said, I'm going to go to fun every day. I was in design school. And I thought I was going to be a fashion designer. But I discovered trend forecasting while I was in school. And I was like, wait, this is the outcome I now want. Yeah. I want to be a person who thinks into the future. And I was naturally good at it. And I think you maybe don't realize this inside yourself, but you're really good at it too. And I've thought about it a lot, why you're so good at it. And I think it's because you spend so much time with the people that you work with, your consultants, mm-hmm. your communities, and you listen to their stories and then you connect the dots. Mm-hmm. What are those patterns? And then you know how to act on it with speed and urgency. And that's really the point. You know, the trends are the trends are the trends. Mm-hmm. You know, people can Google trends.
Yeah.
But the real gift is knowing how to take action on them And I think that's what you're great at.
You know, and I think, but it's so funny because that's really, that is, you, there's so many things that will indicate what's going to happen, but most people see them, but they, it's, they don't really act. They don't really do. Mm-hmm. They don't really say, hey, I need to be doing this for my business, for myself. And, you know, and I asked you kind of in the book, you know, what was your favorite chapter? And one of your favorite chapters was chapter 5. And, you know, only yes. you could sell you, which you, I didn't know this about you. You actually created your own job.
I kind of did. When I decided I was going to do this, it was just a commitment to myself, actually. And the way that I built my business, if you will, was I remember being at a cocktail party and I was really scared because I was like, I don't have a job, but people were asking me like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a trend forecaster. And so you talk a lot about like, you know, dressing for the role you want, not the one you have, or, yeah. you know, proving that you have value. And I really just had to have that confidence in myself to speak the words. Then what I was able to do was people were like curious, what is that? And then I was able to start educating people a lot, like what you had mm-hmm. to do in your story where you were like, we had to prove, you know, people kept wanting to prove this was a real business. Mm-hmm. So you're sort of myth busting for mm-hmm. people and you're saying, no, this is what this is. But it opened up that opportunity for me to sell myself and to make that compelling for people to say, oh, wait, if I don't have this in my business, I'm going to miss out on things, miss out on opportunity, mm-hmm. miss out on revenue, miss out on growth. And so that was really how I started. So that part, that chapter really resonated with me because I lived it too and had to just.
It was when yeah. I heard you say this and like, I'm thinking about being with you when you told me, I was like, I need one of those. I need somebody that's that forward thinking, that thought process. But I could see a lot of people thinking it's very woo-woo, right? And
yes.
and people like really thinking that you're kind of like this voodoo magic. How can mm-hmm. you, Valerie Jacobs, how can you, are you that smart? I mean, I have all these analysts, I have all these other people. How are you that smart? I mean, people, right? When people try to stump
you. Oh, totally. Yes, you know. I really thought about that. I resonated with that part of the book too, because, you know, I would go into a room, I'd be presenting my information. And one, you have to balance telling people things they already know mm-hmm. so that they're head nodding. Mm-hmm. Then you kind of walk out one more little step and get to that point where you're telling them things that they don't know. You build that trust by getting the shared information out there and then keeping, you know, pushing. But there was always one in the room that I had to overcome that wanted to provoke and say, act like they knew more than I did. And I'm like, that's great, but I'm dedicating all my time to this. Mm-hmm. And so I am the expert. The second part would be there would always be somebody who wanted to ask the stumper question that like I didn't know. So there's always one. And you know, I probably overcompensated a lot in the early years where I just had to have every piece of evidence, every single thing so that I was bulletproofing myself. But I think as I grew, I became more comfortable just, you know, embracing that person and bringing them on the journey more than trying to be defensive.
It's hard because I do think that, you know, that is a learned behavior to become like, just let it go. Let, you know, just embrace that one person, because there's always that one person. I don't care what room you walk into. There's somebody that's going to think you're not that, you're woo woo stuff, or how could you be that smart, or that's not going to work, or it's not a real business. Right. And I think that's, and it's so true. And I think so many people, worry about in today's world, you know, trying to please that one person or try to say, you know what?
Totally.
And I'm at a point where I've told our sales force, I'm like, look, don't focus on that one person, because if you have a room of 10 people and that one person is trying to challenge, there's 9 other people that are enjoying your information, enjoying what you have to say. So, but it was so hard for me to walk away, because one, you're passionate about what you do. Right?
Completely.
You love what you do and you mm-hmm. feel like, hey, I've given a lot of time. And I could see that same thing. I would try to sway that person to be on my side. Come on, well, you can come over here. You can believe in me. Did you ever feel like that was, you ever had to go down that path?
You know, I actually, yes. I mean, yeah. Totally. One of the things that I learned to do is say, you're totally right. Mm-hmm. So when somebody would say something and where they were like trying to be additive to my presentation or provoke me, oftentimes what I would do is flip the script on them and say, everybody in this room, if it's their colleague, yeah. go to this person, see that person's sitting in your organization that knows all this stuff already. So I would try to be embracing, mm-hmm. more embracing of that, or just say, having this kind of mindset always needs somebody to bulletproof you and be a provocateur. So I tried to always like embrace what that person was doing. And in a way that was very disarming to mm-hmm. those people. And so that just would often neutralize the situation.
It's so funny when you start paying people compliments, what they'll be like, oh yeah, yeah. And they'll start looking. Now they start getting a little finicky in their seats. I've seen that tons. All right, let's talk about this. So you go, you decide, hey, I'm gonna create this job. Don't really have it, but I love the fact of your kind of portfolio strategy, which is really kind of goes back to like, I tell people all the time, like you don't have to have all the answers up front. Right? Like,
no.
The answer is going to come. It takes you a little bit of time. Relax. But I love this. And it shows true even in this, in what you did.
Oh, when I first started, I was figuring out, did I want a real job? Did I want to start my own thing? And I didn't know, but I was going on job interviews and I actually did not have a portfolio to take on job interviews. Mm. Mind you, I was teaching portfolio class at the time, which was very ironic also. So that was definitely a fake it till you make it moment there. But I was like, what can I do instead of sweating over a portfolio that'll be very static? So what I would do is I would go on a job interview and the week before that interview or however in advance, I would give myself a time allotment, a deadline, mm-hmm. and I would make a forecast for that company as my interview. So instead of showing them all this work I used to do, I would just give them a forecast. Yeah. And then at the end, I would say, this was only one thing I found for you. There are eight others. Please let me know if you'd like to know that.
I freaking love it. Because you went in and you didn't show them what you did in the past, because one customer is going to be different than another exactly. customer. And what you show in a portfolio, I love the fact when, I always hire people that show me, well, here's what I've done for this company, this company, this company. Okay, great. I work at P&G. I did this thing for Chiquita. I did this thing for great, whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, that works for them, but show me something for me. I love the ones that come in and be like, I got this idea. This is what I want to showcase. And that goes to the point of knowing and doing a little background research on the people you're going to want future business from.
Exactly.
Why do people underestimate that type of skill set, do you think, about doing some research on your future clients, right? Before they are clients or the future job, before it's their job?
Probably. Out of a scarcity mindset, yeah. I think some people might even think, well, they're going to steal my ideas.
Oh, yeah.
For me, luckily, I always feel like I'm never scared that anyone's going to steal my idea because I've got five more sitting behind it.
Yeah.
And I've been like, if anybody copies me or steals my idea, I'll just out-idea them the mm-hmm. next time. And so that's because I have an abundance mindset.
Yeah.
And I try
not scarcity mindset that exactly. I see most people operate with every day. What can be taken from me? What am mm-hmm. I going to lose? You're like, look, if they need it more than I do, there's more. Yes. And I think that's the mindset, because your opinions aren't going to get clouded because you're thinking about how somebody's going to steal from you. You're thinking about how I'm going to help the next person. Because ultimately, when we do help those, we see it coming back 10 times.
Also, too, I realized even early in my career where I was training people to do what I did, mm-hmm. I had to develop a technique that was scalable, because it's one thing to be a futurist and you're a singular entity. It's another thing to scale a business. Yeah. I had to teach other people the techniques. And I did that by teaching at the University of Cincinnati. And there were those moments I'm like, what if one of these people takes all my technique and rips me off or whatever? But no one is me.
Yeah.
And they'll put their own spin on it, or they won't be as good. But I just think having that generosity mm-hmm. of sharing your wisdom, sharing your education, sharing your technique is what actually builds a business, not the other way around.
It's so funny that, because that's really when you get to the message of The Secret is You, the book, right? Like, that's the whole thing people don't understand. Like, you can see other people's businesses out there. You can copy or model or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's got to come from you. Mm-hmm. That's why we talk about making sure that you're constantly learning, you're constantly staying a student, you're constantly refining, you're improving. Because really, you're right, nobody's going to be Valerie. But they might have the ideas you create, they could use those, but they still got to deliver them. They still got to mm-hmm. execute them. They still got to bring them to life. So when you think about, after you read it, do you feel like you're right? This is something I want my people underneath of me to understand, is that, look, there's great tools out there, but you got to be able to leverage them, but you have to leverage them from yourself first.
Right. They have to have their own authentic spin on it.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
I think that's a big thing today when we start talking to people is like, how do they find the best version of themselves first?
Right. And it's okay to imitate other people while you're developing your own style. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted the people working for me to imitate my technique. And as they grew, then they can put their own point of view and own style into it. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of reminds me of the concept in your book where you're like, look, you have to customize XYZ. Mm-hmm. You have to know your consumer. You have to be able to riff. You have to have your own, the things that feel authentic to you when you're in that interaction. And I think, you know, but when you're learning, a lot of it is technique. When you're learning, a lot of it is imitation. And that's when I started realizing fake it till you make it mm-hmm. is you're imitating someone until it becomes yours. Yes. And that's okay in the beginning.
It 100%. I think it's perfectly fine in the beginning. I think so many people worry about it. You know, and I always also think too, when people are listening to the different, you know, things I talk about, I'm like, believe it till you become it, right? I think it's so hard because we don't think we can do it. And then it doesn't manufacture into what we thought.
And you make a lot of points about practice, repetition, discipline. And that's that same part of the technique and getting good at something first.
All right. Being a trend forecaster, doing kind of seeing what's going on in the world. What are some, can you just, is there anything that, you know, it doesn't have to be pure romance related. It doesn't have to be, you know, what's going on? What's happening with consumers right now?
Well, what's really interesting is, you know, everybody says that the pandemic accelerated things by 5 years. So you mm-hmm. even make the point yeah. in your book too. I think it's made us have to almost do our trend forecasting in a shorter time frame. Uh-huh. So it's not only like what do I think customers are going to be wanting, or what are their lives going to be like in a year? Mm-hmm. It's like, what are their lives going to be like next month? Mm-hmm. And so it's sped up the cycle of the need. But there are some big themes that I think came out of this time period. I kind of feel like we're going to be in a little bit of a rubber band moment right now. It's yeah. like there's a lot of pent up energy. A lot of people now want to get back together and see people and go back to the old ways. But I think it's going to kind of be like a boomerang. They're going to go one way. They're going to expend all this energy and then they're going to settle back down. And I think it's going to be a good thing because they're going to realize the things that they valued about that time.
Yep.
So I am watching for those signals right now. Like, what kind of rubber band are we going to have? I think people learned a lot about what was essential during yeah. this. I think they learned a lot about self-care. Mm-hmm. And so I do think whatever those things were, whether it was getting into gardening or being outside more or actually, you know, advancing their self-care routine, I think those are going to be important things that people will want to return to. I think people developed a lot of habits mm-hmm. during the pandemic that they want to stick.
I'm one of those because I feel like, I mean, now things are opening up. People are like, hey, can you come to this event? Can you come to that event? I'm like, you know, I think maybe I'll go to a couple, but I probably won't go to as much as I once was because I don't value that as I once did, or I thought it was that important because I think we tell mm-hmm. ourselves that stuff is important or we have to do it.
And then we spent a year knowing it wasn't important.
Oh, 100%. All right, let me ask you this question. If you sit back and you think about, you know, the pandemic right now, I got my sales people, you know, they're going out there and everybody that's a CEO that's listening to this call, right? You have to sit back and think, I believe that retailers, business owners are going to have to fight really hard for attention during this period of time.
I agree.
And the reason is because I feel like this is college spring break right now for everybody. Everybody's like, yes, you know, you hear the vax and wax summer, you hear vax summer, you have all the stuff yeah. that's going on. How true do you think that is that retailers, I mean, April retail was down 0.3%, right? Now, you know, you sit back and look at it. I just think money is going to be maybe spent in hospitality, you know,
yes.
food, you know, all the different things that are going on. So retailers are going to have to be, but I agree with you. I don't think it's a long period of time. I think it's a rebound effect. I think they're going to go out for spring break for the time frame for this time, and then it's going to come back in. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we're already seeing it. It's really just going to be a time of volatility.
Yeah.
And people are doing things a little bit differently. You know, the previous change was kind of like overnight, but in some aspects, I think I'm having the other way now, because now I'm out 7 nights a week, but it's because everybody I haven't seen in a year wants to get together, but that's not going to last for long. So I just think, look at it as a time of volatility and some change. And then I think people will settle back in. But, you know, one of the points you make in the book that was really, I think, the point of the book is that the secret is you. The secret is inside of you. Mm-hmm. It's an inside job. And again, what I think, you know, when you and I work together, mm-hmm. I'm sharing big macro trends with you so that you can use them for the future of the company. And so you're thinking big, big picture.
Yes.
But there are micro trends that all entrepreneurs can harness. And that's sort of what we're talking about right now. What is the trend of the moment that you see in your business? And there are a couple ways you can find those. One, there's going to be data that you're receiving. You know, you can look at your sales even over last week, last month, mm-hmm. last 2 months. You can see, are they going up? Are they going down? And so you can look at the data. You can also, you know, in your business especially, you're talking to consumers all the time. You're face-to-face or virtually face-to-face with them. They're telling you things. So that's the first thing I would think about. It's like, I would call it in my business the bibliography, but it's like, where am I getting my information is all that is. Is it data? Is it talking to my friends? Is it talking to my consumers? Is it reading a blog or whatever? So those are your sources. All you're doing then is noticing what you notice. Mm-hmm. What's standing out here? What's different? What's changed? Then I kind of take those as all little data points, right? And you're just connecting the dots.
Yeah.
I heard this over here. I heard this on a podcast. I see this in my data. That's all it is. You're connecting the dots. Then you kind of look at where it's going directionally, like there's a trajectory, it's going somewhere. You know, it was like this, now it's this. Where do you think it's going? And then act. That's all I do. That mm-hmm. is the technique. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And so you sit back and you think about this, but it's so true. These macro trends do have a lot of small micro, because that's how I do. I listen to you, and then it's like, and then I start listening to different podcasts. I listen to things. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that. It all adds. It all goes to the top line. Everything goes up. I mean, would you agree with that?
I think you're just saying, this is why I think you're naturally good at this. And it is something you can develop inside yourself. Yeah. It's a technique.
Yep.
It's not woo-woo.
No, it is definitely not woo-woo. And I think that that's where people have to kind of get their minds wrapped around it, that they can make these changes. It is believe it to become a fake it to make, whatever people are out there having to do. I love the fact that you created your own job. You create like your, hey, here's my portfolio. You were selling yourself, which ultimately people think you were selling a portfolio or you were selling a product to somebody. Nobody buys that. I buy you. I don't buy your product, which is maybe the forecasting. I buy you because the way you're able to explain the forecasting, the way you're able to make it digestible for me, you know, so I can act upon it. That's what I buy. And so that's the one thing I think people underestimate so much about people and mm-hmm. how they need to sell themselves.
Yeah. And you know, in your book, you love sports.
Oh yeah.
I myself am not athletic or sporty. Except for the fact that I like tennis shoes and things like that.
Got nice kicks on today.
I will say that I do think this is a trend that will last. There will be kind of a casualization that happens.
100%.
People don't want to go back to that either. And so when I rolled in today and saw Chris and I are both wearing sneakers, I'm like, There we go.
I was talking about my wife the other day. She goes, you know, you have so much of your closet that's taken up by suits. I said, I need to like find a blue one, a black one, and maybe one with color. But other than that, I might not ever wear a suit again.
I think that's going to be a trend. Yeah. I think, and maybe people will want to dress up and have some occasion wear. But going out to dinner is going to be an occasion now versus where it was staple or in your lifestyle, perhaps. But the sports metaphor that I would apply to my business is the one in hockey where it's like, you have to skate to where the puck is going to be.
Ooh.
And so if I had to sum it up in a sports metaphor for Chris, That would be the one I would say. And for your audience.
I freaking love that. All right. I got to ask this last question. So everybody I know that's uberly successful or been successful has a routine, right? So I have my routine, right? Mm-hmm. I get up, I go work out in the morning, even though people always ask, do you like to get up that early? No, I don't like to get up that early. It's just part of my routine because I know if I don't do it, I don't get it in, I'm done for the day. You know, then I get done, I get my Starbucks, I go to get the kids breakfast, you know, typically. I come home, I take two of them to school. It's typically LC and Max. Then I get into the office. I'm getting through my notes of Rise and Grind at 9 o'clock. And then my day is like boom, 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 stacked with different stuff.
Right.
And I typically, you know, before COVID, I was on the road doing, you know, talks or whatever. Now I'm at home at 5 o'clock. You know, then I have maybe a basketball practice with the kids or volleyball to do, or maybe I'm carpooling. What is your routine? Do you have a routine that you follow on a daily basis, you feel?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
You mind sharing it?
Would you like to hear
it? Yeah, I would love to. I want to know.
Yeah. I wake up 2 hours before I have to be anywhere. And that's really what sets it. If I have to be at work at 8:30,
yeah,
2 hours before that. The reason is I need a lot of time to think and process my thoughts. And the way that I do that is I have, for probably 20 years, been journaling 3 pages longhand in a crappy notebook with a pen every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have like a little box of full of these and my little crappy notebooks, but that is the single best thing for me to understand what's on my mind, mm-hmm, is to actually see it pen to paper. So first thing, get up, make a cup of coffee. I do my 3 pages longhand. I might look at the media, you know, like a little bit on social media, a little bit of news media to just kind of ground myself in what's happening in the outside world. Then, you know, I get ready and hit the ground running. And then the other thing that I do try to do is I really value deep work. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of my job is based on the ability to find space and time to think and write, mm-hmm, and create forecasts for people. So I do try to every week, as much as possible, carve out that time for me to do deep work, which is putting the most meaningful stuff first. And then also following my energy a lot. So I think better in the morning. So I try to put that in the morning. And then I have a shutdown ritual, mm-hmm, which is at the end of the day, I just feel like I need everything in its place. And then I like literally shut down because I needed that or I'll keep go, go, go. Yeah. And so I literally have like 4 steps. It's kind of like I put it there. It's like a down stay with a dog. I'm like, work is done.
Yeah.
Stay.
Yeah.
And then you know what I like to do in the evenings, yeah, which is hang out with my friends and,
yeah,
you know, socialize and fill up my tank with, you know, other people and
in conversation.
Ideas.
I mean,
like, I just love talking to people too.
And,
yeah.
And you know what? And I truly appreciate that. I appreciate one, you sharing that because it is. I think everybody needs that routine. They have to have something that, I love the fact that you have to have an area that fills up your cup. We have to have an area that kind of rejuvenates us. Mm-hmm. And that's I don't get much time, probably you don't either, by yourself. And when I get my time by myself, like, you need it. And I think everybody has to have that recharging moment. I got to do a better job. I need to do a better job of making it sit. Like, I need to like shut it off. I love the fact that I might have to take that as a consideration of doing that. Like, sit, work, sit.
Stay.
Good work. You know, like that might be my new tag for coming up. So, hey, listen, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Chris.
Because let me tell you something. You truly are a definition of success. I'm so amazed to be in such a powerful woman's, you know, here today. Valerie Jacobs, Chief Growth Officer at LPK. Let me tell you something. Holding it down. I think everybody that is listening to this, very beneficial information. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thanks, Chris. I love being around you and this is so fun. I would do it every day if I could.
Well, listen, I think we should have Ron here every day. I don't know about you, but make sure you go subscribe, you know, put some comments in the chat about this because I appreciate being here. Again, this is The Secret is You. Go out there, have a great day. And remember this, you can always live life by design. Don't live somebody else's default. Have a great day, everybody.